We make known to the congregation that Monday evening there is no catechism. Let us begin this worship service with singing Psalm 184, stanza 1 and 2. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depth where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1 and 2 of 184. The reading of God's holy word for this evening you can find in the Gospel after St. Mark, there of the third chapter, starting by verse 26 to the end. But first, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 4, beginning by verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that a full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it was sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus far.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good hand, thy providential hand, that it has gathered us and our children together for the second time on this holy day of rest. Then thou granteth many reasons to acknowledge thee, where we are still privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth outwardly, many that had nothing to eat, many in countries of persecution, many homeless ones, great multitudes in institutions of mercy, many others in prison, many that have not heard thy word, many that have thy word, but not the truth thereof, that are being deceived, and so many that have thy word, but that are spending this day as another day. And what maketh us and our children to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, May it please thee by the first time and by renewal to grant an impression of our sinnership and of our unworthiness. And then when we consider all thy blessings, then what a wonder it should be that we may still have a place upon the earth and a place in thy house. May it please thee to make the wonder a wonder indeed. And to that end, we need the work of thy Holy Spirit. We are such unthankful creatures, and thou hast a people that learns that it is so, and that are given to grieve over the same, and who may receive those times when they may be given to see thy blessings, a heart to perceive it, a heart to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise thee. And that all through the precious meritorial work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the application of thy Holy Spirit, we humbly ask thee, may thou bless what was heard in this morning. May thou be the after preacher, what was proclaimed by thy servant. And we humbly ask thee in this evening hour for a blessing upon thy holy word. Thou hast declared in thy word that it shall not return void unto thee, either a savor of death unto death, or a savor of life unto life, O Lord. May it then in this evening hour be a house of thanksgiving indeed, to receive a humble and a broken heart from above. But may it also be a house of conversions, that thy word may go forth with power divine, that sinners may be pricked in their heart, that they may be placed in their guilt, in their missing, that they may become a true seeker. We all stand in need of that same thing, to be born again, because otherwise we cannot enter and see the kingdom of heaven. Oh, do then convert our little boys and our little girls. Wilt thou convert our youth? Wilt thou grant unto them that precious choice of a Ruth? Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Then they shall never be put to shame. Wilt thou remember the elderly ones, the middle-aged, as we are quickly hastening to the end? Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we deceive not our poor souls? Wilt thou remember thy people? Thou knowest how they have come up. Oh, in this evening hour, may it be a house of instruction for a people that learn that they are so ignorant in heavenly ways. And many times there can be so many mysteries and so many riddles. May it then be a house of encouragement for the discouraged, a house of comfort for the comfortless. Wilt thou remember the smoking flaxes? Oh, do blow with the wind of thy spirit, that work may be revived thou hast promised to never forsake, the work of thine own hands, the broken reeds, with their heads hanging down, looking within at the circumstances, and not looking unto thee and what thou hast promised in thy word. May then in this evening hour the waters of consolation flow, that they may be given to lift their head and see thee alone. May it be a house of the strengthening of faith. Oh, thou hast a people upon the earth that are so dependent upon thee, may it then please thee to be a surprising God. Wilt thou grant us further leadings? May there be no rest outside of that only foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then we commend this portion of thy vineyard unto thee, a branch of a congregation. We commend unto thee thy servant and the consistory with their manifold labors. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may a blessing rest upon all the labors. Oh, may it please thee in these evil days to do a great work amongst us and our children. Wilt thou have respect unto thy covenant, and thou shalt have respect unto that covenant where thou wast promised in thy word that as long as the sun and the moon endure, they shall fear thee from generation to generation. It is such a personal matter. We are all hastening through the time to eternity. Abide then the seriousness, the reality, the shortness, the solemnity of life, and the certainty of death and judgment of eternity upon all our hearts, and may we be given by thy grace to seek thee while we are still in the precious land of the living. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, remember our theological school. Remember the instructors and the students. May their number be increased. Wilt thou comfort and uphold the persecuted church, where many in this day were called upon to gather with fear and trembling, many in prison, many of their families distressed, but oh, do care for them. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team. May it please thee to take the veil off the Jewish nation, and not only concerning their understanding, but in an experiential way that poor sinners may learn that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, that the promised Messiah has come, and that he sitteth at thy right hand. Therefore, for the ingathering, for the upholding, and the perseverance, the persevering of his church, remember those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Bless then the manifold means of grace amongst us and our children, not only in the church, also in the family circle. Wilt thou grant unto fathers and mothers faithfulness and a solemn impression of their responsibility? Oh, we cannot convert them, that is thy work, but thou usest the means, and thou hast appointed the means to that end. And may it also please thee to bless the manifold means of grace in the midst of our Christian school. Do remember all those that may labor therein, grant traveling mercies, when thy word may be open from day to day. Make it a blessing for young and old. Wilt thou provide for all the needs? Thou knowest also the need for teachers is very great. May hearts be inclined to study to that end. Wilt thou remember land and country, our nation, that continues its downward spiral to destruction? Remember all in high authority, and impress it upon all our hearts that it is written that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Oh, do grant unto thy church to turn and repent from evil and worldly ways, and yet to be given to cry unto thee. May we be given to see the signs of the time, and that a hastening may be born, that we may find a place of shelter and a place of safety under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Wilt thou remember the many temporal needs? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Wilt thou remember the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the different circumstances? They are all known unto thee. May it please thee to surround them with thy care and with thy compassion, and that the outward afflictions may be used by thy Holy Spirit, that sin-sick souls, that they may come under the care, be given to flee to that heavenly physician, to be pardoned of all their sins. Remember the crosses, remember the scars. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Oh, do keep our youth and all of us under that old tried truth, man nothing and thou everything. So thy church travels to Jerusalem, but not only to remain under the truth, but to be given to experience by thy grace, by thy Spirit, that it is a truth that can set us free. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee in this evening hour for thy help. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. Oh, may it please thee to send help from the sanctuary and to strengthen out of Zion. Grant that with a little freedom and with a little liberty, we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Wilt thou remember all those that could not come up, those that are bound to their home also when they may listen along. But, oh, do remember all that have come up, oh, wonder-doing God. Wilt thou manifest that thou art a God of wonders? And may it be in this evening hour for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. And then by renewal we must confess, oh, that we are but a company of poor sinners, and we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great and manifold. Oh, may it please thee to grant a little in our hearts, because we can speak words with our lips, but that it may be experienced what the centurion of old has experienced, unworthy that thou would come under his roof, and yet he needed thee to come, oh, to speak the word only. Oh, may it then please thee to speak to our souls indeed. Forget not what we have forgotten. Look down upon us in the Son of thine eternal love. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 295, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep, and what follows. Psalter 295, the first three stanzas. this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Mark 4, the verses 35 through 41, and we shall read the verses 38 and 39. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Our text words speak of, Master, carest thou not that we perish? With four thoughts in the first place, the Master's command. In the second place, the Master sleeping. In the third place, the Master questioned. And in the fourth place, the Master glorified. Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Master's command, the Master sleeping, the Master questioned, and the Master glorified. Beloved ears, our history is also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, the verses 23 through 27, and in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, the verses 22 through 25. And then when we compare the Gospels together, then the disciples, they had a blessed day. Because Christ, as their Master, in his prophetical office, was given to instruct concerning the mysteries of salvation. He has spoken many parables, and then we read that he has explained the spiritual meaning of those parables to the disciples. Thus then even our boys and girls can understand that those disciples had a good day in church. Does that also take place in our life? That we know what it is to have a good day in church. That the word of God, that it may go forth with power divine. And that we sit not in our bench untouched, even as a stone. And that we have to leave God's house. Many times we think the same. Of course, that cannot be, because also this evening hour, when we leave the house of God, then I read in 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. Have you ever learned, congregation, to glean on the field of the greater Boaz? And that there were those times, especially in the beginning when the Lord works, and then what precious times that can be as with the Ruth, and that it seems that each Sabbath day that we may take something home. Not saying it always remains, but it was a good day for the disciples. Even more so, they have not only listened to that preaching, but they have seen their master perform many wonders. Then the sick, the afflicted, the diseased, they were brought to Jesus in congregation. We never read of one case that was too difficult for Jesus to heal. Have also in this evening hour a few souls come up so sick because of sin, perhaps even afraid that you have sinned too much, the question whether there is still mercy for such a sinner. Oh, when we read the gospel, no impossible cases. And I read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. And now in the evening hour, then the Lord Jesus Christ, he has sent the multitude away, and then he has commanded his disciples that they would enter into a ship and to sail to the other side. Then surely we would think, upon the command and in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, when they have stepped in that ship, likely one of the disciples, because we never read that the Lord Jesus Christ had a ship, he has used his disciples also to preach from. And in Matthew 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that precious text in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, and that through his poverty he might be rich. Oh, that is the blessed portion of the children of God. And now surely, in the way of obedience, because we can understand congregation, when we trample upon the word of God, when we disobey the same, when we harden our heart, and when we follow hard after the world, then it shall not be so unexpected when great storms come in our life. But now for the disciples and the way of obedience. And now, boys and girls, you can picture it in your mind, that ship with Jesus and the disciples on board sailing to the other side, the Sea of Galilee, not so large, about 6.5 miles wide, about 13.5 miles from north to south. It is a very peculiar lake, 680 miles under sea level, and upon the sea, and in the vicinity of that sea, the Lord Jesus Christ has performed many miracles. And now in this evening hour, when we consider that ship sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and then in the first place, and then sailing across that lake in the way of providence, in the second place, in the life of the children of God, in the way of grace, and in the third place, and then that ship as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as captain of his church, and taking his children to eternal bliss. Thus, boys and girls, then you can understand very simple in this evening hour that ship had a destination, and also the ship of our life that has a destination. And may I ask you in this evening hour, where is your little ship sailing to? Because I read in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, that there are only two ways. And by nature, then our ship is sailing on the sea of this life to eternal destruction. But now the Lord has a people by his grace, by the work of his Spirit, that ship is given to sail to eternal bliss. And now the most important question is, because our journey that can come to an end so quickly, David has said in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3, that there is but a step between us and death. The old must die, but the young can die, has been experienced in the midst of the family circle. And now when we consider our little ship upon the sea of this world, oh, upon this world, then many times, then the sea is very rough. It is true, we have heard it, that the disciples had a good day, we would say in church. Oh, may we be given to see the blessings of the Lord, a heart to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise him, because it can change so quickly. As Solomon, we find in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of the day of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. Also the week which we have commenced, the Lord shall fulfill his decree in his divine providence. It is an unknown way unto us. Oh, if it would be the week that the Lord would send the angel of death, is then our little ship traveling in the right direction? Then a ship has a captain. Oh, may I ask you, we hope to hear it. Those disciples, they could say with a true and an upright heart, Master, who is the captain of our ship? And who is, and what is the compass? Is that the holy word of God? Oh, in the sea of this world, on a sea, then there are many markers to warn us of dangerous places. We have heard of those markers in this morning when the holy law of God was read, thou shalt not. Oh, how is it with their life, young and old, concerning the word of God? Do we prayerfully ask the Lord to keep us from sin and temptation? Oh, how foolish it is for a ship to come as close to those markers as possible. Then surely they shall be shipwrecked sooner or later. May it please the Lord, it is so missing in our day, that repentance from our evil and from our worldly ways. Thus the most important question for all of us, where is our ship sailing to? Who is the captain? What is our compass? Oh, have we learned to beg for the mercy of the Lord? Have we ever learned that we are sailing by nature to eternal destruction, and that if we are not converted, that we shall suffer shipwreck eternally, and then it shall be forever and forever too late? Then in this evening hour, then we have the ship with Christ and his disciples sailing to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then we read, they tell us that on the Sea of Galilee, that many a times the winds would blow down from Mount Hermon, from the mountains, through the valleys, and they would hit the moist air of the Sea of Galilee, and that so suddenly and unexpectedly a terrible storm would arise. And that has now taken place with our ship on the Sea of Galilee. Oh, also in our life, when the storms, when the waves start to cover the ship, when the Lord comes with trials and afflictions, oh, it is true. In the life of a child of God, then the Lord at times in his sovereignty, then he sends those storms, great storms, upon their little ship, that they are afraid to perish, and that the Lord may teach them more what liveth in their heart, but that the Lord may also magnify who he is through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he may magnify his glorious attributes. O man's extremity, that is God's opportunity. When we think of the sovereignty of God, oh, think of Job, of whom it is written in Job 1 verse 1, that there was a man in the land of Uz, one that feared God, one that was upright. And the Lord in his sovereignty, then he has tested the faith of his child. Oh, it was sorely tested. Then a Job could sorely say, surely say, with the solemnest of Psalm 42, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And that has now taken place with a ship upon the Sea of Galilee. Oh, when the Lord sends those storms, then the church doeth well to examine themselves very closely. Job is also asked in Job 10 verse 2, under those solemn afflictions, wherefore contendest thou with me? Oh, hast thou not favor unto the work of thine hands? And now concerning that storm, it is clear when we read the Gospels that it was an extraordinary storm, because some of our disciples, for sure, they were experienced fishermen. Oh, they have experienced much on the sea. They have fished many a night. But then it was clear that this was an extraordinary storm. And now the church learns that for each new trial, they need new light, new grace, the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. It is true, when they may be given to meditate upon former experiences, how sweet it is, when the old may become new, to receive an opening at the throne of grace. And then there are times that they may be given to believe what the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Who hath delivered us from so great a death, and shall deliver, and trust that he will yet deliver. When we think of David, when he has went down to the camp of the Israelites with that giant Goliath, and when he has appeared before Saul, he was given to confess that the Lord has delivered him from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, and that the Lord would also deliver him from the hand of Goliath. And nevertheless, the child of God shall learn that for each new way, they need new light and new leadings. And now those disciples, when that great storm has come, and then they could not do what their former experience. Oh, undoubtedly, they have used the means. because if we ask the Lord to help us and we do not use the means, then we are mocking with the Lord. Nevertheless, those disciples have experienced that the storm became greater and greater. And then we have said, not only in the way of providence, but also in the way of grace. Oh, we have heard it, those disciples. We would say it simply, boys and girls, they had a good day in church. They were given to listen so intently to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was none that ever preached like him. But then the disciples have experienced, when the waves have come over the ship, that it could not help them. And so the Lord has a people. Oh, it is true, when they may sit in the house of God, and when their life may be declared from the housetops, when they may be given to glean on the fields of Boaz, when they may experience the loving kindness in their heart, oh, then they may be given to rejoice, and then it seems that everything is covered. But now those waves, they are also a type of the wrath of a holy and a just God. And then a child of God shall experience that with all their experience, with everything they have received, and with the demanding justice, that they cannot satisfy those waves. Oh, then how necessary, how indispensable that precious mediator becomes. And now we read in our history that the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was asleep in the inner part of the ship. Then in our history, we find so clearly declared the two natures of the mediator. The second person of the divine Trinity, he has assumed a human nature that he may be that mediator that may stand between God and man. And then in our history, then we read so clearly that he was truly human. Where he has preached, where he has healed many sick, and now in the way of weariness, and then he was given to sleep in the inner part of the ship. But also concerning that sleeping of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given an example for his people, and he was given to experience what the Psalm has declared in Psalm 3, verse 5. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And now the disciples, they have come to their wits' end. Oh, we read of a storm we have sung together out of Psalter 295, Psalm 107, the verses 23 through 31, of a people that do business in deep water. Oh, are there a few souls that are doing business in deep waters in the way of providence? And let us be careful that we do not build only on providential deliverances. Oh, it is great when in our life we may experience that the Lord cares for us, that the Lord keeps us, but that by itself is no mark of grace. On the other hand, when the Lord works by his Spirit, those special providential deliverances, they shall be experienced. Oh, how they are laid up in the heart when a child also in the way of providence, that they may learn that they may experience that the Lord indeed knows of them and cares for them. But in the life of a true child, then they need more, because on that little ship, then the Spirit teaches them what a sinner they are, that they have sinned against such a good doing and against such a just and a holy God. And oh, the billows of God's wrath, that they cannot exist before him. And yet that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. And that is a people that is given to cry unto the living God. We read in Psalm 107 that they reel to and fro. As a drunken man, they come to their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord, and the Lord hears them. And then at the end we read, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, young and old, when we consider our little ship on the Sea of Galilee, oh, let it then be our question. May we examine our hearts, boys and girls. Then you have something to ask your parents to speak about concerning that little ship, how it resembles our life. But now to examine the family circle where our ship is sailing to. Oh, may it please the Lord to impress the solemnity and the seriousness of life upon all our hearts. In the year 2020 of our Lord, then we have already continued our journey for 47 days closer to that never-ending eternity, each week a week closer to that final meeting with our Master. And now we read in our text words that under that great storm, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And that is not a strange experience for the child of God. Oh, do I not read in Psalm 22, verse 2, in the daytime I crieth unto thee, and thou answerest not, and in the nighttime I am not silent. Thus disciples on a little ship with the Lord Jesus Christ asleep. Are there souls that understand it? Are there a few souls that may believe heard prayers? It's already a blessing when the Lord grants that opening at the throne of grace and the Spirit to persevere. The child of God learns that it all comes from above. But do I not hear the psalmist say in Psalm 72, has the Lord forgotten to be kind? As shall I his promise faithless find? And how often it is the experience of the church when their little ship is rocked back and forth, and that in the midst of their crying and in the midst of their prayers, that it seems that the storm only becomes worse. Was the night, and in that storm with all the clouds, and you cannot see the stars, a beautiful type of the promises of the Lord. Thus their ship on the sea, the Master sleeping, and the storm has only become worse. Thus that is a type of a waiting people. Are there still waiting souls in our midst? And I'm not speaking about temporal things, especially our young people. Maybe you are waiting for many things. But are you also waiting for spiritual blessings, for deliverance, and a particular deliverance? Many times our prayers they are so general. And we say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. But when it is tender, then we shall lay those particular sins which we have committed before the Lord. Oh, there are times also in the life of a child of God that knows why the storm comes. Think of Jonah. When he has fled from the presence of the Lord, then it was not so strange that the storm has come. But now concerning that little ship, then I read in Psalm 121 verse 4 that the keeper Israel, that he never slumbers nor sleeps. Oh, the true church of Jesus Christ, they cannot and they shall not perish, because it is a church that has been chosen from eternity. It is a church that has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. It is a church that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And Christ has said in John 10 verse 28 that they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Oh, if one of those would perish, then how the devil would be given to rejoice. But it cannot, and it shall not be, because Christ has declared, oh, it is true, when the storms are so great, and when the storms continue, and it seems the Lord does not answer. Just think of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, when they were persecuted, and then they have cried unto the Lord. Oh, the Lord has heard the groaning, but the deliverance has stayed, and then the afflictions only become greater. Ah, the Lord shall prove in those ways to his people who he is, for a poor and a needy sinner. And now there came a time that it seemed that if nothing would take place, that their ship would soon sink to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And then they have went to their master and they have awakened him. That is their third thought. But let us first sing. Of Psalter 210, the stanzas 2 and 3. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. And what follows, Psalter 210, the stanzas 2 and 3. Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Master's command, the Master sleeping, and now thirdly, the Master questioned. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let me first ask you, congregation, dost thou care that thou art perishing? Are we troubled concerning those matters, fathers and mothers, with your children? Where is our little boat traveling to? Carest thou that we perish? Or are we so busy with the temporal things that we have not time to think of those things? Or maybe, young people, do you think later? But we have said, the young can also die. The Lord, what sent the angel of death in this week and usher you into eternity, where would then your eternal home be? What is now necessary? The work of the Holy Spirit, that it may become reality in our life, because by nature, then we live here upon this earth as if this shall be our eternity. Then we are the same, undoubtedly, most of you have read. Otherwise, boys and girls, you can ask your father and mother in 1912. Then in England, a great passenger ship was launched to make its maiden journey to New York. And many people called it the unsinkable Titanic. Was very wrong, of course, but that's what some people called it. The wisdom of the engineers, so much steel, they said that Titanic cannot sink. But shall we throw stones? Is that not our picture by nature? That we are as that unsinkable Titanic. Every other ship can sink. And everyone can die in this week, except me, unless the Lord grants an impression thereof. But then, boys and girls, you know what has happened. Then that ship, sailing full speed on April 14, struck an iceberg, and then more than 1,500 was still respect in those days. Women and girls received the first place. They were first put on the lifeboats. But then 1,500, and they tell us, some very rich businessmen with a lot of money and with a lot of possessions, but when that ship sank, did not make any difference. Is that now our picture, congregation? That we think that we are unsinkable, although God's word declares that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But now those disciples, they had a special privilege. They have received grace. and Jesus was on board. And then we must not see it many times in our life. Then when we come at our wits' end and we cannot figure it out or solve it, yeah, then we need the Lord. In paradise, we have joined that organization that is called Help Yourself. And also many times in the life of a child of God, then the Lord, He sends many a storm to bring a child of God on that right place, at His footstool, as an unworthy sinner. Oh, it is true. When the Lord sends those storms, how mysterious they can be. Christ has said in John 13, verse 7, what He doest now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And the storms which the Lord sends upon the little ship of His child, then I read in Romans 8, verse 28, for we know that is by the exercise of faith, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. And now concerning our third point, then it is a point of further examination that may tell us where our little ship is sailing to. Oh, it is true. Also in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in our day there is a nominal Christendom that speaks of great things. Beautiful, maybe even an orthodox confession, but Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, the verses 16 through 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. The Lord has a people upon the earth for their little ship that needs and desires Him as prophet, and further that the child of God is led, the more necessary and the more precious the mediator becomes in his threefold office. Then how necessary and precious in His priestly office for a people that have a heavily high debt and not a penny to pay, but the true church also desires and needs Him as King. And now the disciples, when they have awoken the Lord Jesus Christ, then they have addressed Him in a special way, Master, that is Teacher, and that is Possessor. How is it with us, congregation? Who is our Master? That is an important point. There are two kingdoms upon the earth and upon the sea in this life. Then we have said there are two destinations. And now let me ask you, young and old, who is your Master? Are there souls that have made that good choice? Because when the Lord works, then we shall be given to make that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be My people, and Thy God, My God. Who do we love? Who do we serve? Who do we obey? Because the mark of that people that may truly call the Master, oh, it is true. They have to confess, unprofitable servants. Ruth has said that she was not as those other handmaidens, and that people write bitter things against themselves. Nevertheless, for the true child of God, oh, many times they exclude themselves, but then this word shall include them. Thus the address, Master. And then what a solemn question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a tender question, if we may say it so, has touched the heartstrings of the mediator. Because the disciples, they were given to speak of the true and the living church, a people where the Lord has begun and where the Lord has promised in Psalm 138, verse 8, that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands. Lord, hast thou now called us? Thou hast called us to follow thee. We have sat under thy preaching. We have become thy disciples. Oh, it is true, ignorant disciples. And many times that we did not understand. And at the time, for those disciples, that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ was so hidden from them. Nevertheless, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a tender question, and what a tender word. When we think of Moses in different words, and a Joshua, but a Moses, after the children of Israel have made that golden calf, and that the Lord has said unto Moses that he would no longer go, was such a stubborn and rebellious people. Ah, that becomes the wonder for the church, that the Lord does not forsake them. Because they make themselves 1,000 times worthy. And for the church of God, that wonder only becomes greater. But then what did Moses say? Lord, what wilt thou do with thy great name? What shall the heathen say if the little ship goes down to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee? Carest thou not that we perish? Shall then the people in those cities that lie around the Sea of Galilee, when they hear that we perish, shall they then say that he was not able to deliver? Master, carest thou not that we perish? May that question be more and more bound upon the hearts, in the family circles, fathers and mothers, with your dear children. Should that not be the question? Because by nature we are a perishing people, and we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. May the supplications, may they be multiplied in these dark and solemn times, where the judgments of the Lord are close at hand. But now we have said that our ship upon the Sea of Galilee. And that is also a picture, a beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. He is called the captain of the Church's salvation. And now, Cortland, how is it with that question? Do we care that as a congregation that we perish? When we consider that little ship on the ocean of this world, what if persecutions have come upon the church? And we see it especially in our country, the handwriting on the wall, that persecution is already present and that it shall only increase. And when the full persecution breaks out, then who shall stand? But concerning the ship of the church, and not only troubles and persecution from outside, a ship must sail on the water. And so the church is called to go through the world. Christ, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, has not prayed that the church would be taken out of the world, but that they would be kept from evil. And now our boys and girls can even understand, when the water comes into the ship and too much water comes into that ship, that eventually it must sink, even a small leak. Thus, congregation, then I think you can make the application. The late Reverend Lemain has stated in a certain sermon that there was a time that the church was in the world. But now we are coming in a time that the world is in the church. Thus, that means that we all have our calling. In Bible times, then the ships, they were made of boards. Then it was necessary that those boards, they fitted very closely together. The necessity that we stand together concerning the old truth and the old ways. John Calvin, when he has spoken of Christian discipline, then he is warned of the danger when there were rotten members, rotten planks in the ship. Think of an Achan in Joshua 7. Thus then we have much to think about, and of course, in the olden times, not so long ago, if we want to bring bad music, bad pictures into the house, then we had to go to a store and smuggle it in the house. Not right, very wrong. But in our day, it comes through the air. May we be given to find what our hand finds to do. Congregation, do you have love for the congregation and love for the church? Does that weigh heavy upon your hearts? Does this question, does it also have a certain place in our prayers, in our hearts, in our mind? Carest thou not that we perish? May we be given to cry unto the Lord our forethought, the Master glorified. He rebuked the wind. He did not rebuke his disciples. I read in Psalm 103, He knoweth our frame, our weaknesses, that we are dust. He rebuked the wind. Do I not read in Psalm 33, verse 9, He spake and it was done, He commanded and it stood fast. Then Christ was given to glorify Himself. Then He has spoken to the wind. He has spoken to the sea, and it was still. What a wonder doing God. What a privilege, what a blessing to be on that little ship, young and old, children. Do you ever become jealous of that people of God? Oh, as much that the Lord may take your little ship, that He may guide, that He may lead, that He may teach you. And then He says, peace be still. In our text words, it is fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah has prophesied in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Then Christ, He has commanded the waves to be still. When we consider that peace, we have said that our ship also a beautiful type of the way that the Lord holds with His church. And then we have said that the waves and the billows, written in Psalm 69, it is a messianic psalm where it is declared that the waters overflowed. Oh, they have overflowed. That precious mediator, Christ, has taken the sins of all His people upon Him, and therefore judicially laden with the sins of His church. Then He has went under those billows of God's wrath, and there was none to stay on Golgotha. Then an angel was not sent, as with an Abram, that the hand of justice was stayed. But Zechariah 13, verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, then He is, then in the way of suffering and death, then the justice of His Father has been satisfied. And therefore, on the evening of the resurrection in John 20, then two times, then He has spoken to His fearing church, peace I give unto you. O Christ, He has finished the work which His Father has given Him to do. And then the Lord Jesus Christ has said to His disciples, why are ye so fearful? Are there fearful ones in my midst in this evening hour? What is then necessary? That we receive instruction in that precious mediator. Oh, let there not be rest outside. And we live in a day that there is so much resting outside of that only name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Oh, where is your faith? Did those disciples have no faith? What do you think, congregation? Not speaking about Judas, but the other 11. Did they now have faith? The Spirit, in the moment of regeneration, then He grants unto His child faith, hope, and love. Faith in its essence. But now concerning the exercise, then they are so dependent upon the immediate influence of the Holy Spirit. Then they have feared greatly. But we read more that they were given to marvel. Ah, that is the fruit of the true work of the Lord. Have you ever been given to marvel concerning the works of the Lord, but also concerning your existence? May be given to marvel that you can live so easy under all the callings, under all the blessings. Have we ever been given to marvel at the long-suffering, the patient long-suffering of the Lord, that he still bears with us? But oh, for that people of God, then they are given to marvel at that work of grace. It is such a mysterious, such an astonishing work, as they read in the canons of Dort. Oh, think of Rebecca in Genesis 25, verse 22. She has prayed for 20 years, Isaac in the presence of Rebecca for a child. And then she was expecting twins. And then she says, "Why am I thus?" Oh, have we ever been given to experience and marvel at the wonderful work of grace that the Father has sent his only Son, that the Son was willing to come to save such a chief of sinners? Then the disciples have said, "What manner of man is this?" They were given to behold wonderful things. They would be given to behold more wonderful things. When the Lord grants it, then on the coming Lord's Day, we hope to commence another Passion season. And then it shall be declared, "What manner of man is this, that he was willing to come upon the earth to take the sins of his church upon him, that he was willing to give himself so freely over," in John 18, "If thou seekest me, let these go their way." What manner of man is this that was willing to be a worm and no man, as they read in Psalm 22? What manner of man is this? The plowers have plowed upon my back. What manner of man is this that was hung on the cross? No room for him on the earth and no place in heaven. What manner of man is this? Those seven crosswords. Young and old, let me ask you once more, where is our little ship traveling to, boys and girls? Have you now received a new heart to love the Lord, to hate sin, to fear him, and a heart that needs to be cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people, have we now made that good choice? In our inner chamber, "I shall begin at the beginning," begins in secret places. Oh, has that desire be wrought in her heart, that he may become our master? Or are you still happy and satisfied under the prince of darkness? He is a liar from the beginning, and the true satisfaction shall never be found. And what shall it be if he is still our master, when the Lord takes us away by the cold hand of death? Older ones, time is quickly going by. Where is our ship traveling? We are coming closer to eternity. Has that wonder of grace now taken place? Ah, for the church of God, as written in Isaiah, in the furnace of affliction, many days of tribulation, but also in the way of tribulation, the Lord shall never forget, and he shall never forsake. He has engraven them upon the palms of their hand. And here, oh, the sea, many a storm, many a difficulty times, that the church is afraid to perish, but for the true child of God, oh, we read that in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And many times the church is afraid that they shall suffer shipwreck, but for the true child of God, it shall be fulfilled. What we read in the next chapter, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. And then I read in the book of Revelations, in chapter 15, that the Apostle Paul was also given to see a sea, but it was not a rough sea. It was a sea of glass, because then the church shall be delivered from all, and then they shall be given to praise the Lord for all his wonderful works in the way of providence and in the way of grace, young and old. Shall we be among them, or shall we have to perish in eternal destruction? May I ask you once more, where is your little ship sailing to? Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application. Convert us and our children as thou hast converted all thy people. We may commence another week. Our little ship may continue on the sea of time. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou watch over us, the mothers in the home, in the daytime, in the night watches with the children. Remember all at work. Remember at school. Remember on the way. Remember wherever we are called to be. Well, thou keep us from an unexpected, and above all, from an unprepared death. Well, thou keep us from sin and temptation. Well, thou bless all the labors of our hands. Well, thou now return us to our dwellings safely over the unsafe roads. Wilt thou return us to our own flock? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 345, and let us only sing the second stanza. Thy protector is the Lord, a shade for thee he will afford. Neither sun nor moon shall smite, a God shall guard by day and night. And what follows, Psalter 345, only the second stanza. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.